top of these bills. Of course, there were quite a few questions from our assembly members to the ministers. You know, it's always a fairly interesting time during question period in the assembly, and the members always have lots of topics to bring to the attention of the ministers. So I'll go through some of the questions that the members brought forward. Jack Shylock, who is the Ungyukak for Riglet, asked the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, the Honorable Daryl Shylock, are moose hunters required to have FAC or POL card with them when they apply for the moose licenses to go on a moose hunt? The minister responded, stating that the conservation officers, if asked this question, are to inform beneficiaries that they should have the necessary documentation to provide if they are requested or met by a wildlife official. The minister stated that these measures are not ours to enforce, and it doesn't prevent the conservation officers from issuing a moose license to a beneficiary, but the minister reinforced the idea that the beneficiary should have the correct identification. Additionally, Ungyukak Shylock asked for clarification regarding the moose harvest that has gone forward this past week on March 16th, and whether or not beneficiaries can simply hunt the moose then return to the conservation office for the tag and license. The minister confirmed that this was the case and that this initiative is going forward to address food insecurity in our communities, and that the Ungyukak is correct in stating that an individual may kill the moose first, then return to the office and fill out the correct paperwork for that license. Further, the Ungyukak questioned the idea of the open harvest, and if an individual were to have multiple kills, then what sort of implication would there be? The minister stated that the intent of the change is that one person would kill one moose, so that there are several different people killing or using the moose licenses. However, the minister stated that if a beneficiary were to kill more than one moose, it is asked that the second moose be brought to the community freezer. But again, the minister stated that the overall intent of the change is to address the food insecurity that is throughout our communities. Another set of questions that we had came from the chair for Nunukhetagit, Mr. Gary Mitchell. And he asked the First Minister, the Honorable Kate Mitchell, why are two of the four members on the Housing Working Group Committee established to prepare the draft housing model non-beneficiaries? The Honorable First Minister stated that the committee is an internal technical committee of the Housing Working Group and who are authorized to review all the information and options prepared by the Housing Working Group over the past year. The committee will prepare a high-level housing delivery model draft for consideration by the whole working group. The draft will be reviewed by the Housing Working Group for changes or additions before it can be finalized or submitted to the Nunatsiavut Executive Council for consideration. The minister stated that after approval by the Nunatsiavut Executive Council, the strategy will be tabled in the House of Assembly. The internal technical committee members are comprised of Nunatsiavut government staff. The director of environment has been involved in a key capacity in the Nunatsiavut housing needs assessment, the sustainable communities initiatives with the Inuit community governments and Memorial University. The housing working group wants to keep that consistency in developing the housing delivery model. Miriam Hasen provides legal advice in drafting to the housing working group. The housing delivery model has to determine a future role or disbandment of TRHA, and these are legal issues, so that Mr. Hasen has to provide legal advice and legal drafting. Another set of questions came from the Ungyukak for Hopedale, Ms. Marjorie Flowers, and she had asked the First Minister, Honorable Kate Mitchell, when do you expect this housing strategy will be finalized and submitted to the Assembly. The Honorable Minister stated that the technical committee is scheduling a meeting as soon as possible and that this meeting will set to do a list and timelines for completion and submission of the draft model to the Housing Working Group. The Housing Working Group will then finalize the draft and submit the Nunatsiavut Housing Delivery Model to the Nunatsiavut Executive Council for consideration. The Minister stated that she has expressed intent to have the housing strategy approved by the Nunatsiavut Executive Council communication practices of the Nunatsiavut government, and if the Nunatsiavut Executive Council has a plan in place to improve communication between the Executive Council and the members of the Assembly in the short term. The President responded that as a government and as Executive Council members, that they have to work with Canada and the province of Newfoundland and Labrador. The communications and collaboration are frequently initiated by other governments, and these kinds of communications often come with a sort of restriction, and that the Nunatsiavut government is often asked to keep discussions at the level of the executive, as some of the work and discussions are often in draft form. The President stressed that because of this, then there are times that information cannot be issued until the other governments agree, and that this protocol must be respected. The President also stated that when the issues at hand require more discussion, then the Nunatsiavut Executive Council is more than able and willing to have further discussion and communication with the Assembly. The President highlighted the sentiment expressed by the member that through working together, we can more effectively get through the work which needs to be done. Moving on to another set of questions, this came from Roy Blake, the ordinary member for Upper Lake Melville, and he directed it to the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, the Honorable Charles Shiwa, and he spoke of the committee, he spoke of the commitment given by the province to establish the Independent Expert Advisory Committee for Muskrat Falls, and asked the Minister when the committee will be struck. The Honorable Minister stated that this was a very important commitment made by the province to work with other Aboriginal groups to establish the Advisory Committee to look at the downstream impacts of Muskrat Falls. What he could say was that the Aboriginal groups have finalized comments for what an Independent Expert Advisory Committee would look like. The Minister stated that it is with the provincial government at this stage, and they are waiting for them to sign off on the agreement, and then the Advisory Committee can be established to move forward with its work. The ordinary member, Mr. Roy Blake, also had asked a question about the moose hunting no license, and asked the Minister of Lands if this is being extended to include Goose Bay, Northwest River, and Mud Lake beneficiaries. The Minister, Honorable Darrell Shylock, has stated that there are a certain number of licenses for Goose Bay, Northwest River, and Mud Lake, which go into a draw, and if there are licenses still left in that draw, that they have to be hunted in the Labrador Inuit settlement area. So those licenses will be under the same conditions as the licenses in the other communities. The Minister stressed that the same rules will apply. There were also some responses to questions from the previous sitting in January, and these were read in the March sitting and supplied to the members. On January 25th, 2017, the ordinary member for Canada, Mr. Dan Pottle, asked the Minister of Finance, the Honorable Darrell Shylock, if his department would be willing to consult with beneficiaries and non-Nunatsiavut Executive Council elected officials prior to the 2018 and 2019 budget. The Honorable Minister stated that the Department of Finance, Human Resources, and Information Technology is willing to have a pre-budget consultation process for the 2018 and 2019 budget. On January 25th, additionally, the ordinary member for Nain, Mr. Richard Palma, asked the Minister of Finance, the Honorable Darrell Shylock, if he would be willing to gauge the civil service about their interest in becoming unionized, and if so, would his department be willing to initiate the discussion with a union and start this process. The Honorable Minister stated that, by definition, a labor union is an organization intended to represent the collective interests of workers in negotiations with employers over wages, hours, benefits, and working conditions, and it is not the responsibility of an employer to unionize its workforce. The question was directed to the Minister of Lands, Natural Resources, the Honorable Darrell Shylock from Ungyukak Joe Dicker, requesting an outline of the hiring process for jobs at Voisey's Bay, and had asked about whether the impacts and benefits agreement is being followed. Honorable Minister says that Teresa Bakey, our IBA coordinator, is continuing to work with Vale and its contractors to get as many of our beneficiaries working at the mine site, both for permanent and temporary positions. There have been a few glitches, especially with contract hiring. However, the issues are being dealt with as they come up, and there's a better process being followed. Our IBA coordinator has communicated directly with Innu Municipal and the Inuit group of companies many times in the last number of months. This came about as a result of complaints and concerns regarding NG beneficiaries not getting calls for work. The minister continued stating that there has been a few Nunavut government beneficiaries who have been overlooked but have now been hired. They were able to provide copies of emails or correspondence detailing when they had sent their resumes. The minister stressed that this is the type of proof that we need to go back to the company so that they can't deny the information. Innu Municipal is now being more diligent in confirming Aboriginal status and really going through the resumes to ensure that they meet the requirements of their contract. They have been told that we can't support them for further work if they are not willing to follow the commitments in relation to hiring. The minister says that all applications for positions must have their status confirmed, whether it be NG or Innu. There was a list of 634 applicants for the first round of hiring, and of those, there were only 20 applicants from Nunatsiavut. The minister outlined the exact hiring process followed by Voisey's Bay Underground expansion as well, which includes starting out with the actual job ad being sent from the Vale Aboriginal Affairs Department. There's a minimum of a week for people to apply. This ad is then distributed to the community liaison officers, PSSSP, Inuit Pathways, and the Canadian constituency for distribution. It's also posted on the Voisey's Bay Facebook page. The resumes are then reviewed and qualified beneficiaries are contacted to determine interest in applying. Applicants' names and place of residence submitted to NG to confirm beneficiary status. Qualified NG beneficiaries should be hired based on adjacency commitment within the impacts benefits agreement. And this adjacency commitment goes in the order of Inuit residing in Nain. I have the first priority, then Inuit residing in other Inuit communities or in Natoshish, Inuit residing elsewhere in Labrador, and Inuit residing on the island in Newfoundland. And in order to promote gender equality, the company and contractors can bypass the adjacency agreements to increase the number of Inuit women in the workforce. Additionally, the minister spoke to issues that were encountered with Innu Municipal contract hiring during the fall of 2016 for the civil works preparation for Voisey's Bay Underground. More specifically, when Innu Municipal was first hiring, they did not confirm beneficiary status for approximately the first 30 applicants, they did confirm beneficiary application for the first 30, and then not for the remaining 600 plus applied. And we learned that Innu Municipal trusted what applicants self-identified as, and there were a number of Nunutuavut members who identified as Inuit, which caused issues initially. The minister stressed that those issues fixed, and there's now realization from how important beneficiary confirmations are. I believe that those were the end of the questions that we've had. Of course, those last few were leftover returns from the January sitting. So I thank the members for their contributions, and I thank the ministers for offering answers to the members' questions.
Just want to thank you, Tyler, for giving us this information today.
It was my pleasure.